Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I still say the number one reason for Twitter is videos of baby animals. I think I follow a couple of zoos on Twitter. But also, it's a great way to connect with those of you who listen to the show. And it's a good way to follow the insiders and the reporters who work in this business. So I do believe Twitter is useful and there are some redeeming qualities. However, once I am done in this business, I will be done with social media as well. So let's enjoy it while it lasts, shall we? Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Glad to have you on board. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page named after the show. And because I've got vacation on my mind, I'm asking you your favorite vacation spots on this Thursday morning now. So you can continue to weigh in on social media. I tell you what, vacation might be any place there aren't dandelions. Have you ever considered how it's possible that a dandelion can grow 6 inches in 12 hours? How is that possible? It does. And if that's the case, which I see it, so I just mowed my backyard on Wednesday evening. And it's crazy because I hadn't mowed in a week and a half, which is, I mean, pretty normal. But the dandelions are 8 inches tall. They're like taller than my lawnmower. But in the front yard, I just mowed middle of last week. Oh, no, wait. Did I mow on Sunday? Huh. I think I mowed on Sunday. Whatever. I mowed over the weekend. And within 8 hours, the dandelions were already sprouting. And by the next day, it looked like they've been growing for weeks. I do not know that how that happens. I'm going to sit out there one day and watch them. Because if they grow that fast, I'm going to be able to see it, right? A time lapse on my camera? But I should be able to see it. They grow so fast, there's no way that you can't tell they're sprouting up out of the ground. And when I said that to my mom, she responded with, "A watched kettle never boils," or "a watched pot never boils," which isn't true. You can watch it. Eventually it will boil. It's physics. It has to boil. I'm going to try it because I, you know, have so much time on my hands. I think I tweeted something about the dandelion and watching the dandelions, and some guy responded with, "Well, what else do you have to do while you're quarantined?" Funny you should ask. It's After Hours from home, the After Hours super secret home base, which will soon be changing locations, though I don't know exactly when. But we're glad to have you on board here on CBS Sports Radio as we head toward the holiday weekend. It's weird, right? First holiday weekend since many of us. Sugar, no one's interested. What are you doing? I was trying to talk here, do a radio show. Yeah, see, I can't get anything done here at the After Hours super secret home base. I just pushed her off the chair. She's fine. She's a cat. She landed on all 4 feet. What was I talking about? I don't even remember. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. So rudely interrupted. These are challenging times and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact the team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Honestly, the cat interrupted me and I don't know what I was talking about before that. Something about dandelions. I think that was prior. Anyway. You can find me on Twitter or on Facebook. And if you remember what I was talking about before that, great. So sports have June 1st circled on their calendar. I mean, it's becoming a big day. It really does represent some light seeping into the tunnel. June 1st is the date where the NCAA has indicated that football and men's and women's basketball players will be allowed back on their respective campuses to resume voluntary individual workouts. Okay, so football, men's and women's basketball, they'll be allowed on campus to use campus facilities. And, of course, there are strict guidelines. We heard from Ohio State Athletic Director Gene Smith as he was talking about how many people are allowed and what happens if there is a positive test and some of the unanswered questions that they really just have to navigate one day at a time and one problem at a time. And so that's a big date, June 1st. And then in addition, you've got the NBA, who is planning to release its guidelines for returning around June 1st. Now, they're in a period here, these next nine to 10 days, where they're negotiating with the Players Association. And so they're going back and forth, and they're chewing over the ideas and trying to figure out which plan makes the most sense. And there are lots of different plans, picking up the regular season where they left off with, what was it, roughly 14 to 16 regular season games remaining, I believe. Maybe doing a play-in tournament, not having all the teams return, all 30 teams, only the ones that still have a shot at making the playoffs or jumping directly to the postseason. There's this idea of either one site in Orlando, Walt Disney World appears to be the front runner, or Orlando and Vegas, which would then mean that you would stay at your site to play games. Likely the NBA wouldn't want people traveling cross country and doing that, you know, those extra plane flights. But these are all questions that have to be answered. And Adam Silver and the owners and the Players Association right now are going back and forth on who, what, where, when, how, and how much. But they've targeted June 1st as the date that they'll kind of release those guidelines to teams. No doubt they include the safety precautions and the testing protocols that will have to take place as well. And we'd heard from the golf world that their protocol, their manual was 35 plus pages. NASCAR's was close to 30 pages. I'm sure UFC has a manual as well. But the idea is you got to stick your toe in the water at some point. If you want your league and your sport to resume, well, you're going to have to try. And you try until you run into a fail or a brick wall or a red light or a flashing yellow. And then maybe you have to take a bit of a detour and try something different. But you're never going to know until you try. There is an idea as well that players either would stay inside their bubble or wouldn't stay inside their bubble. And we've heard specifically from baseball players that they didn't want to be stuck in a bubble. So they nixed the bubble idea. And that was kind of going back to when Arizona was the site that might host all the baseball teams and get their season off the ground. So baseball kind of nixed that idea. Well, the NBA is still looking at that type of a concept where it would be one or two different sites. And Jared Dudley of the Lakers had some really interesting comments. I'm hoping we can find them to be able to share them on the show. But he was saying, after his conversations with Adam Silver and Michelle Roberts, who's the head of the union, that it's not true that the NBA would be requiring its players to stay put in that bubble. They would actually be allowed to leave. He said this Wednesday on a video conference call. You will be allowed to leave. Now, just because you leave, if we're going to give you that leeway, if you come back with corona, you can't play. So he's essentially regurgitating what he's heard from Silver and Roberts. Is that we'll let you leave, but it's under your own risk. And if you come back and you test positive for the virus or you have symptoms, well, then too bad, so sad. It was your choice to leave and you gambled and you lost. And so you're going to have to sit out. And so that for me would be enough incentive to stay put, not necessarily in a hotel room for 2 months, but to be really careful about where I went and who I interacted with and probably not to travel real far outside of that area. But Adam Silver had already said to the players, we don't expect you to sit in a hotel room for 2 months. But we also are going to have to adhere to strict testing potentially twice a week, and health screenings. And if you do go out, if you do leave your hotel, if you do spend time in the community, and if it's in Orlando, you know, parts of Florida have already reopened and started to reopen now more. Well, then it's, you know, it's at your own risk. So June 1st, really important for the NBA as well. They're targeting an end of July return to play, whatever it looks like, end of July. And then, as we talked about before the top of the hour, betting had a big weekend this past weekend, likely to have some traffic this coming weekend, the betting world, the Memorial Day weekend with some more events. And so June 1st, we'll see the first resort and casino reopen in Vegas, already taking reservations there. So a bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Mentioned baseball, Orioles pitcher Paul Fry on the show in 10 minutes here on CBS Sports Radio. Paul Tagliabue is the former commissioner of the NFL, and he was a guest on CBS Sports Radio on Wednesday. And I thought it was interesting to hear what he had to say about the Rooney Rule. And I bring this up again because we had a guest, Greg Doyle, on last night's show, who went hard at the proposal. It's since been tabled, but he called it embarrassing to everyone, this idea that the NFL would reward teams with improved draft position in the third round if they hire a minority head coach or a minority general manager. And there was a lot of opposition. Marvin Lewis, Tony Dungy, among those coaches who are very well respected, who came out and said, no, this is either disrespectful or it's the wrong idea. It's even offensive. And so the owners didn't vote on that. In fact, they tabled that idea for now. They didn't kill it, but they tabled it. What they did do is agree that the Rooney Rule has to be expanded. And so instead of requiring one minority interview for a head coaching job, two minority interviews are now required, with at least one interview necessary before filling a coordinator job. And to me, even if it feels like affirmative action, even if it feels like teams will do it as a token, I'm on board with it. I don't care. Because if you give extra guys the opportunity to interview, and I don't care if they're purple, green, yellow, red, rainbow colored, I don't care what color they are. You give people an opportunity to interview, and you never know what gem or what diamond in the rough you might find. It's so important to interview and to get in front of potential employers, because you never know about the connection that you might have with an owner or with a general manager. And so the opportunities to interview, to me, are really important. So Tiki and Tierney asked former Commissioner Paul Tagliabue about the Rooney Rule.
It turns out to be cyclical. I think there's a big difference between today and 2003, 2004. I looked at the sheet the other day. 17 of the 32 clubs have had African-American head coaches. When we did the Rooney Rule, or when I became commissioner, there were none. You know, roughly two-thirds of the league have had coaches. Six or seven of the teams have had two African-American coaches. So whatever the issues are today, they're different from what they were in 2003. You can't just go back and say, this is what we did then, this is what we have to do now, which I think is why it's so important that the Competition Committee and the Diversity Committee and the commissioner and the Fitzpatrick Alliance are all working on this together.
Former Commissioner Paul Tagliabue talking about the climate in the NFL when they came up with the Rooney Rule, which is, of course, named after Art Rooney, the longtime owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. They also, Tiki and Tierney, also asked the former commissioner about the way that Roger Goodell and the rest of the NFL officials have navigated this pandemic, which is certainly not something that Mr. Tagliabue ever had to deal with.
I can't speak for them, but I think what they've been doing has been spot on based on what I've seen. I mean, very good. They've been focusing on the health issues and the difficulty of how to deal with crowds of people, which all the data shows that that's a big challenge with this particular virus. It's a very big challenge. I think the commissioners have been doing a fine job in trying to deal with it effectively.
How about that? Roger Goodell getting two thumbs up from his predecessor, Paul Tagliabue. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So I thought that was interesting to hear from the former commissioner. When I first discovered the NFL, even before I knew anything about football itself, but I started watching the NFL, and he was the commissioner for part of it, not for all of it, but kind of as I was like getting to know the NFL. Actually, I think I need to go back and look at his tenure. You know how things get a little fuzzy when you're younger and then you get old and like Craig Fight. Do you remember that name? Have you forgotten 24 hours later? Sometimes the details get a little bit, they get a little bit fuzzy. Let's see what his tenure was in the NFL. Let's see, 17 years. So he wasn't the commissioner the entire time that I was, when I was first kind of falling in love with the NFL again. I didn't really know anything about football, the game. It took me a while to learn the game. But Pete Rozelle was the commissioner when I first discovered football. That was really early. That was way back when I was a babe in the woods. I actually did grow up in the Concord, New Hampshire woods, so that's accurate. All right, straight ahead, my conversation with Baltimore Orioles relief pitcher Paul Fry. And yes, I did ask him about Blake Snell and about this idea that the players should not and will not take a pay cut of any sort. Thanks for joining us. Good Thursday morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
And the 2-1 delivery. Mancini fly ball. Left center launched. Back is Pilar. Right back there. Boom, boom. Wave that baby bye-bye. Number 8 for Mancini. And it's a 1-0 Oriole lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I hear from Baltimore Orioles fans on a pretty regular basis, as bad as last year was, you miss your team. You miss your Orioles. You miss the game of baseball. You miss Joe Angel, play-by-play voice on the Orioles radio network. Good morning to you. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Recently had a chance to catch up with Orioles relief pitcher Paul Fry, and excited to talk to him, of course, because of where baseball is right now, trying to come up with a way to get back on the field and play an 82-game season. But I started with some personal, because I was stalking him on Twitter, of course. I do that before I do interviews. And I saw a video of him reading to his son. So I asked him, his son is real young, did he ever imagine that he'd be able to spend this much time right now with his son and his wife?
No, I mean, yeah, the timing of all this, you know, what's going on in the world is kind of crazy right now, but the timing of it for me, myself, is unbelievable. Having a 7-month-old now is kind of crazy. I've been there. I've been with him now for 7 months straight, and it's just easy.
Kind of a blessing, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Now, you guys were into spring training, and then it got interrupted, and so your situation is a little different than basketball or hockey. But can you take us back to that time when you're in spring training and you find out that everybody's being sent home and we're all kind of going into hibernation? What was that like?
Yeah, see, I was on the bus. We were heading out to a game, and we did like 4 or 5 left turns in a row right back into our complex. So it was the day that everything kind of shut down. What were we, about a week and a half out of starting the regular season? So, you know, we were all pretty much ready to go, you know, with our throwing program and schedule and stuff. It was just surreal. It's like, all right, now what? Do I go home, or how long is this going to last? But like I said, it's just crazy. Mm.
So you asked an interesting question. So now what? And I think we're still trying to answer that question. But at least the last 2 months, what has that meant for you in terms of trying to keep up with your fitness and stay in shape?
Yeah, I mean, I throw 2 bullpens a week, you know, like up to 30 pitches, you know, starting to do some alternate type stuff during a bullpen, simulated guys or whatever. But you just try to, like, keep your arm in shape and where you were with a week and a half out, I guess. So you're not overdoing it every week, throwing three bullpens, max effort. You're kind of like, all right, I'm treating this one like a game so I can get my recovery afterwards. Just being smart.
Okay, forgive me for not knowing this, but how do you throw a bullpen at home?
So for me, I've had two places now that I can go to.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I started in Florida and had a connection with a former major leaguer there. He had a bullpen in his backyard. So we could do everything we needed to do. We could social distance. We could do all that and still get our work in. So now I'm in Michigan. I actually just threw at my old high school field today.
Have you had any situations at all, like Joe Kelly, where you accidentally threw the ball the wrong direction and it maybe came close to breaking a window?
Not necessarily a window, but there have been a few trees that have been hit in the process.
At least there are no video cameras around. That's not captured on film, right?
Right, no.
So, Paul, when we talk about getting back to baseball, and I know right now there's a lot of different plans that are floated out there, you mentioned kind of staying in your program. How long would it take you to be ready?
I feel like it's just a matter of seeing hitters consistently. And, you know, I don't think it would take very long. 2 weeks at max. And I think most pitchers could get to where they need to be to start the season. I know the rosters could be expanded or whatever, but we'll have extra guys for that. But we just have to make sure we do what we do so we're ready day one no matter what.
Right. Paul Fry is a pitcher with the Orioles. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. How much do you miss it?
I just miss the competitiveness. You know, you can throw all the bullpens you want, throw the nastiest stuff, but when it's one-on-one with the hitter, it's there's nothing like it.
What about the idea of playing without fans, Paul? Because there's a lot of talk about that too, and it sure looks like if baseball returns in early July, which is the target, that there won't be any fans in the stands.
Right. That's why I said, I missed the competitiveness part because, that'll really like bring it out, the how you react when the fans are not cheering for you or they're not booing for you. They're not even there. So it's more of a one-on-one feel, and may the best guy win.
Interesting. I'm not sure how it is in spring training, but have you been in those situations where it's uber quiet and you can hear not just what guys are saying to each other on the field, but also maybe in the dugouts?
Yeah, but not necessarily. Like, we would have live batting practice where we would throw and there would be a few guys behind the turtle or something like that, but there's no crowd there. But, you know, you're not competing for, you know, the playoff picture or competing for regular season games, you know, games that count. So, no, I haven't been part of that.
Well, it could be really interesting, but something I think that at least fans are telling me they might find fascinating, hearing what you guys are saying on the field and potentially in the dugouts, if there are mics close enough, that it actually might be another kind of peek behind the curtain for fans.
Yeah, for sure. Just hearing guys go back and forth between teams, it's pretty cool, like, to see that even when there were fans or like last year, you know, just guys yelling at each other from each bench, just, you know, cracking jokes or whatever.
I guess you could hear the jokes in the other dugout, too.
Right.
So, Paul, it wasn't that long ago that you made your Major League debut, and pinned at the top of your Twitter, you have a photo from that night in July 2018, which theoretically could be exactly 2 years when we get back on the field if baseball does hit its return there in early July. What do you remember about that moment at Camden Yards?
I mean, yeah, it was June 29th, and we were playing the Angels, and it was a whirlwind of emotions and just everything just the day kind of flew by. We drove up to Baltimore and from Norfolk, and we got in, and it was like, next thing I know, I was at the field ready to go in the bullpen. Like, nothing had changed, but the surroundings were pretty pretty different. But I had been there in 2017. The funny thing is, the first time I ever got called up, I was in Baltimore as well, and warmed up in extra innings two games in a row, and we walked it off both nights. So, and then I got sent down after that, and of course, not until June of 2018. But the whole outing, everything, I say I blacked out. You know, it's just a blur, honestly.
And in that situation, as you talk about, the adrenaline is, it's pumping. And so then think about it without any fans. How different would that be?
I think it would be almost more bizarre. So I feel like if guys make their debuts this year, it's like, all right, you know, lock it in. It could help guys. It could hurt guys. I'm not really sure.
Paul Fry of the Orioles with us after hours on CBS Sports Radio. It was a tough go for your franchise last year, for your team, no doubt, for your teammates. Where do you find some hope, or where did you find some hope before spring training got shut down?
The camaraderie we have is undeniable. There's chemistry in the clubhouse. Guys are fighting for each other. And then we have Trey Mancini with one of the biggest fights. And, you know, we're behind him and we love him.
It does put things in perspective, doesn't it? As strange as this spring is, there are still people out there who are in, no matter, you know, how bad we think it is for us, there's still people out there who are in much more challenging and difficult situations.
Exactly. I try to tell myself that every day. You know, when you're thinking, you know, rough day, just think about others.
For sure. It gives you perspective.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. There have been some guys, in fact, pitcher Blake Snell, who's come out and talked about not wanting to take a pay cut. I understand not everybody in baseball is in the same situation. It's a weird perception that a lot of fans have that all professional athletes are millionaires. So that's obviously not accurate. But when it comes to you as a professional athlete, Paul, what's your priority right now, knowing that you've got to come to some kind of an agreement with baseball? What's your priority for you know, these next couple weeks?
Yeah, just safety of my family. I mean, there's guys out there that are making a lot more, obviously, than I am, but you got to think about that first.
All right, so before we let you go then, Paul, what is Forrest's favorite story that you read to him?
His favorite story? I would have to say, like, Brown Bear, Brown Bear. Brown Bear, Brown Bear, what do you see? It's just quick, and he likes the big pictures of animals and stuff.
Well, I'm glad you've been able to spend so much time with him at home. That's awesome, and he sure is cute. He doesn't have the same hair issues that many people do during this quarantine.
Yeah, not yet, that's for sure.
You can follow Paul on Twitter at _FryGuy09. With the Orioles, looking forward to baseball coming back at some point and being ready to compete. Enjoy your time with your family. Paul, thanks so much for a couple of minutes.
Thank you so much, Amy.
Paul saying the safety of his family is the priority. And however that looks for Major League Baseball, because we don't exactly know how it will look and what might happen, or how, you know, how often they test, or if they've got teams kind of clustered at their own ballparks, or if they've got teams were gathered in a couple of different areas, if not every stadium is open. So there's still a lot of questions, but baseball's still looking at the 1st of July to get back. So they've got to find an agreement at some point. Deadlines tend to spur action. You should see the picture of his, or the video of his hair with his baby on his Twitter. You can do that. Checking it out and seeing what I'm talking about with his hair kind of all over the place. It's fun to talk to athletes who have the same issues that I do, hair issues.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
If you like pina colada, that's me. I do like pina colada. I do have half a brain. Sometimes only one half is working correctly. Only one half is functioning. I'm telling you what, we get the most humorous, most amusing phone calls. And also, it works on social media as well. Right after I had started talking on the show, so now nearly 4 hours ago, I get this tweet. You're not on tonight? I'm literally in the middle of my first segment. You're not on tonight? I don't even know how to answer that question. Is it a trick question? What's the correct answer to that? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. Good morning to you. If you missed my conversation with San Jose Sharks play-by-play voice Dan Rusinowski, he's found a cool and creative way to keep hockey top of mind, even during this pandemic when the sport is shut down. And we haven't heard much from NHL Commissioner Gary Bettman. Now, he's made a couple of appearances on Sportsnet. He's been around on a couple of U.S. networks. But really, he's laid a lot lower than the NBA or Major League Baseball. And yeah, there are always leaks, but he hasn't been nearly as visible or nearly as vocal. And so Dan kind of filled in some of the blanks. He's been studying, Dan's so smart. He's been studying the various options for hockey's return. So that was really cool. He joined us from the Bay Area, and you can find that on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. We also went around the NFL and heard from Rob Gronkowski and Jarvis Landry and Brandon Cooks, Patrick Peterson. Good stuff. Really excited about the Cardinals roster once they get out of the quarantine and have an opportunity to get together to work together. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line. 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's talk to Alan, who's listening in Toronto. Welcome to the show.
I've been to Las Vegas quite a number of times, so I thought it would be a change of pace if I went to Reno, Nevada and Lake Tahoe, Nevada. You know, it's a lot quieter there, and, you know, there's gambling, and you can make a vacation out of it. You got Virginia City and Carson City, so, you know, I that's a vacation spot I'd like to go.
Cool. Yeah, no, Lake Tahoe, actually parasailing at Lake Tahoe is a bucket list item of mine.
And I just heard some bad news for the NHL.
Sorry.
Justin Trudeau and Donald Trump, they've agreed to close the border until June 21st. That's a travesty. Don't forget, there are seven teams in the NHL.
I couldn't forget.
It looks very, very dire for them because, you know, there's a lot of people overseas. There's more people from Europe than there is in any other sport. They've got to come over. And when they do come over, they have to quarantine for 14 days. Apparently, they have to quarantine for 14 days. So
right.
It looks pretty dire.
I would say, here's what I would say, Alan, and I know this only because other leagues have talked to the president and national officials, and I'm assuming they're doing the same thing in Canada. They've told the leaders that they are going to need some help to get their athletes back to the United States from wherever they are. For instance, in basketball, Luka Doncic, he's in Europe. He's not in the United States. So some athletes have gone back to, their home countries. Others have stayed. So you're right. It seems like it could be an extra hoop to jump through, but I do believe that, that the president and other national leaders are going to work with these leagues so that their athletes can get back. And the quarantine, if you have enough time and can plan ahead. I mean, we're not talking about an immediate return for any of these sports. We're still talking about, early July for Major League Baseball, which doesn't really affect as many, but basketball and probably hockey as well are not talking about getting back until late July.
And to play in July and August, hockey, it's a winter game, and these arenas are going to be, the heat is going to be suffering. It's going to drain you. Unless the air conditioning is going to have to be pretty good. I recall there were some games in Dallas, back in 1999, and it was, it was well over 100 degrees inside there. So it's not natural. It's not normal to be playing hockey in July and August.
Yeah, I mean, there are some places where they can play. I would say in your country of Canada, there are probably a lot of people who are playing hockey in July and August. But I would agree with you, and I think that's got to be a concern of the NHL, no doubt, as they narrow down their list of arenas. So they're looking at something similar to what the NBA is doing, which is a couple of places, maybe one, but it sounds more like a couple of places where they might have their 24 teams that will participate in a tournament. And so you would think they would take into consideration what the heat might be like in those locales in July and August. Alan, good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your phone call. And these are all concerns that the leagues have to deal with. But I did read that where commissioners have reached out to the White House and have said, hey, and also the president has met with the commissioners and other leaders of sports leagues, via conference call. And so he's committed to trying to get sports back up and running. Anything to do with the economy right now is a priority for the president, but they've talked about the various issues to try to get the athletes back, as well as try to get, you know, their various sports started, how they would do it, and the idea of no fans and everything else. So I think there would be special consideration there. At least that's what it sounds like. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. A lot of you weighing in with your favorite vacation spots. Now, some of you are looking at international spots, which, as Alan just pointed out, you might be able to leave, but you might not be able to get back without quarantining. So I am still hoping at some point in 2020 to go visit my Cuban family. It wouldn't be with a big team like what I've done the last several years, but I am hoping to visit and take a couple of suitcases full of supplies. Cuba's in a desperate situation, a major food shortage. And the last I talked to a friend of mine from Cuba, she said their people are actually sleeping outside the night before and waiting until the grocery stores, the markets open up. And when they do open up, you don't actually know what's going to be there. And if you're not first or near the front of the line, there's nothing left when you get into the market or the store anyway. And so it really is a dire situation in many parts of our country when it comes to food, but also in other countries where they're not as equipped to handle something like this, where the borders are closed. So I'm hoping to get to Cuba, but the idea would be, okay, so what happens when I come back? If the restrictions are not lifted, or if there's still quarantine required when you return from another country, am I able to do that? So, yeah, it's not the same. I don't want to say our freedoms are being restricted, because that makes it sound like I'm taking a stance there, but our ability to move around freely definitely is not the same in 2020, because we want to be careful of where we're going and what we're doing while we're there. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So there was something else that I wanted to do. Oh, this fits right with what we're talking about. And I had seen this comment from Lee Westwood, who is a European golfer. And I had wanted to make sure, to incorporate that. And this kind of flows perfectly. But he was on Golf Channel talking about how he's not planning on coming back to the United States for the first couple PGA Tour events because he doesn't think it's worth the effort.
Right now, I won't be playing. I'm not with, having to leave here 2 weeks before, quarantine, then play the two tournaments, then come back here and quarantine again. You know, it's 6 weeks for two tournaments. And, to me, that's, just not worth it. And it's not worth taking the risk if everybody thinks that, those kind of precautions have got to be in place. I don't feel like, golf's a priority if it's that severe.
So Lee Westwood is in the United Kingdom, and he's saying right now, the way the restrictions are, to get ready for these two events that are coming up in first in Texas. So that's the return to action for the PGA Tour, that he would have to show up 2 weeks ahead of time, quarantine, and then play the two events. And then when he goes home, he'd have to quarantine again for two more weeks because of the regulations in his own country. And so it's a lot to ask of anyone who's going in or out of the country. It seems necessary to me, at least at this point, not just for the United States, but for, other countries as well. We don't want to keep passing the virus around. And so it's a logistic that if you are not American or even in the United States, that you certainly have to think about. So just another consideration for the pro sports leagues who have international talent. Thanks so much for weighing in with all your favorite vacation spots. Pam says, I was supposed to go to Hawaii on June 18th. Now my 2 weeks off will be a staycation. We'll do what we call golf-ageddon. Golf every day for a week. So they're being creative. Kevin says on Facebook, Smoky Mountains, Gatlinburg, Tennessee. Stan on Facebook, St. George Island. Let's see, Jim, San Diego, California. Mike wants to go to the moon. Well, there's an option. I bet they don't have the virus there on the moon. We've got one show left in our work week before the holiday weekends. We'll be back for you on this Thursday night. Have a great day. Thanks for joining us After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.